The Lord Jesus was not a waster. He told the 12 disciples at the close of this event, feeding the 5,000, to take the 12 baskets and pick up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. And I want to speak to you tonight on this final Sabbath of the year about these fragments of our lives, these little things, these leftovers that we need to deal with. Through the year, we've had 52 Sundays, an opportunity for me to preach, and for many, an opportunity for you to come and hear. How many sermons and how many calls to faith? How many exhortations to holiness and greater service for Christ? Your soul has been fed, but there are these leftovers, these fragments that remain. Someone has commented on this event that it would take more faith to doubt the miracle of the 5,000 than to accept it, because this was not a miracle to appeal to men's minds or men's hearts, but to their stomachs. To be hungry, ravishingly faint with hunger, and then to be totally satisfied, so that there were all these leftovers, that everyone was completely filled. And of course, we can't see food inside men's stomachs, but we can witness the 12 baskets that were filled with the fragments that remain. In this event of feeding the 5,000, we have a number of wonderful displays. We have a display of the men's satisfaction. They couldn't eat another crumb. They were totally filled. And I think there's a message for us in this tonight. If you really want to know satisfaction in your life, you need the Lord Jesus as your provider, your bread giver, and the feeder of your soul. We also have here a great display of blessing. Now, this blessing is because in the custom of the Jews, when people were hosting a dinner or a meal, it was a custom to leave a piece of bread on the table. And that was the etiquette, the good manners of the guest, to say, we leave that for our host or hostess, and the blessing of the Lord be upon that last little piece. Now, of course, in the power of the gospel, there is a blessing for God's people. We delight ourselves in the law of the Lord day and night. It becomes our joy and our peace. There's another display I see here, and it is a display of the Lord's authority. His command to these disciples, pick up those baskets and gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Speaking of authority, I read on down to verse 15, because did you note that the people were about to make the Lord Jesus king? Such was the impression of this miracle. There was no doubt now that he was that prophet or that Messiah that was to come into the world. And it's with that authority that I want you to take heed to this command: gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Now, as I mentioned, this command has many applications. We're not to be wasters of the goodness and the good things of God. We are also learned here that we will be held accountable for each and every benefit and gift or blessing that is meted out to us. And if we leave it around to waste, we will give account for not using it well. The Lord will have us to use every opportunity that is given us for blessing. As I got on my knees and looked over this verse and this command of the Lord, I thought of all the Sundays in the year that have gone by, all the opportunities, all the times that we have opened the Bible and preached the Word together. And have we not fragments that remain? Those things left undone, those things that would hinder us if we were to launch into a new year without dealing with them. I want to take up with you tonight these specific words of the Lord, lest they be lost. That nothing be lost. Let us lose nothing of the miracle of Christ in our lives. You see, it was the gathering of the fragments filling the 12 baskets that demonstrate so clearly the volume of food required to feed all of those men, and so much remaining. There's no other way for us to calculate how much was actually consumed by those sitting on the grass in rows. And you think of how much that little boy's lunch, it would have taken 10 lunches to fill a basket. And the power of multiplication, the miracle that was performed in feeding these people, it was all wrapped up in this command: gather up the fragments, that nothing be lost. Now look over your life tonight, this last year at least. See what the Lord has done. You know the little chorus, count your many blessings, see what God hath done, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. I want you to do that tonight. I don't want you to come to the end of this year and lose sight of the miracle of grace going on in your life. The Lord has carried you through some very difficult things. The Lord has provided for you. If I remember the prayer meetings of January last year, as we cried to God for His help and His guidance, and family prayer requests for issues that were overwhelming, can we not say tonight, God has come through, answered prayer, and He has blessed. I don't have time to preach all of these, but there is God's goodness in temporal things. There's His grace, and He has promised, my grace is sufficient for thee. Would you argue with that tonight? Would you look at all those fragments scattered around, those unused blessings, and then say that God's grace was not sufficient? Surely the Lord would ask you to count them. There are His promises that have been fulfilled. As the Lord said to the children of Israel, or it was said of the Lord, not one good thing of the Lord's promise hath failed. And there's been His guidance. Let's not neglect the providence and the guiding hand of God in every one of our lives. We were at crossroads at times, not knowing which way to turn. And the Lord has gone before us. If there is in your life those fragments remaining scattered around you, you're not picking them up. You're not recognizing the value of them. You're not putting them into the basket. You're just letting them go to waste. Then you've lost sight of the miracle that has been performed in your own life. And so the Lord says, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Then also, lose nothing of the Lord's message in our lives. What have we done with the truths of God's Word? As I have already said, how many times have I preached to you? 52 Sundays in the year? I haven't been here all of them. Well, I was off to Sri Lanka and a few weeks of vacation in the summer. I've been in Calgary and I've been here and there, so I've missed a few Sundays. So let's say 45 Sundays of the year times two, Sunday school hour, midweek prayer meeting. We have been feasting on God's Word. How many nuggets of truth have we attempted to mine out of the book? Would we leave the fragments scattered around unused? That's to despise them. To hear them preached right out of the book. I'm not inviting you to listen to my opinions. My opinions don't count for much. Many people thumb their nose at my opinions and it doesn't matter. But when it comes to what God has said in His Word, and I've been faithful to convey that message through the preaching of the gospel, then it does matter. Because these are the words of life scattered around you. It would be like the children of Israel when they were gathering up the manna, jumping all around it, treading it into the ground, into the dust, and leaving it unusable. A bit like my neighbor as he was shoveling snow, walking all over it before he picked it up with a shovel. Doesn't seem to make sense. Maybe as you have come week by week and you have heard God's Word, and you have come to the end of the year and you're filled with unbelief, doubt and fear, then you just are trampling on that Word. What are we to do then? Well, what are you saying to do? Well, listen to the word of the psalmist. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Let us lose nothing of this book's inspiration. That's the first thing. Let us lose nothing of its illumination. Now, that's a progressive thing as you read and study the scriptures. Inspiration's in the book. Illumination ought to be in you as God speaks to your heart from this word. And then let us lose nothing of its sanctification. That's its purifying power in our lives. Clearing up all the wrong thinking, all the carnal desires, washing us with the word, cleansing us day by day until we get to the point, Lord, Thy will be done. Thy will be done. Thy word have I hid in mine heart. I think I cannot give you any better message in the closing days of this old year. Thy word have I hid in my heart. Don't leave it lying around. Use it. Store it up. It's the blessing of God right there. Now, here's where preachers split hairs. Not because I want to make my sermon long, but I want to get to the meat. You know, it's like the marrow in the bone. That's where the nutrition is, but it's hardest to get to. And that's why God ordains preachers. That's our job, to take God's word and get to the marrow of the matter. And here it is, let us lose nothing of the ministry of Christ in our lives. The real living Lord Jesus ministering to our hearts. And I have three thoughts here. I want you to bear with me. Firstly, lose nothing of His compassion. That is the jewel of our Lord's character. He's compassionate. In Luke 15, where He told the parable of the lost coin, the lost sheep, and the lost son. And the Lord Jesus, He expounded that there is rejoicing in heaven over one sinner that repents. So opposite to the Pharisees, that high and mighty attitude of sinners who are unworthy of the least. Well, the Lord Jesus gives them everything for free, and he receiveth sinners well. So lose nothing of his compassion. Let me tell you, your heart is in a sorry state tonight. If you leave this fragment, this part of the gospel, laying around, wasting, that the Lord is compassionate to the lost and to the least. Maybe you feel you've failed in this year. Maybe you feel you've blown it. And there's times along the way we have walked awful close to the edge. And if left to ourselves, we may well have blown it. But the Lord in his tenderness has drawn us into safety. The Lord tonight is merciful, gracious, long-suffering, and tender in heart. Don't lose his compassion. The second thing, don't lose the ministry of his cleansing. I think of David, Psalm 51, after his awful sin of adultery with Bathsheba. And David said, "Wash me, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Create a right spirit within me." David knew he needed the cleansing of the Lord. And when the Lord Jesus was in this world, he demonstrated his cleansing in a very physical way by cleansing lepers. Leprosy in biblical times was a most horrible, infectious disease. Lepers were untouchable. Lepers were to be cast out. Lepers were despised. But Jesus touched them and healed them. And that is a great picture of the cleansing of the corruption of sin. It would be a tragedy tonight if you were to leave the old year with the fragments of sin around you and you were to go into a new year without the cleansing power of Jesus. Sin clinging to you. We read in Revelation 22 this morning, "He that is filthy, let him be filthy still." That's a horrible state to be in. And I feel for you tonight. I'm burdened for you tonight if that's the state of your heart. That you are living in defeat. You are burdened by sin. And you're missing the cleansing power of Jesus' ministry to your heart. You see, this is the marrow. This is the real matter of how to live the Christian life. You cannot live the Christian life burdened by the guilt of sin. You must enjoy the daily cleansing of the Lord Jesus. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Are you there? Is that your testimony as you close this year? Or have you lost that fragment, that part of the Christian gospel that leaves you with a burdened heart, a dirty heart, a filthy mind? How can you walk with God? How can you commune with God? How can the Spirit of God fill you if you miss the cleansing ministry of the Lord Jesus? One last one, and that is the Savior's ministry of contentment. The Bible says that godliness with contentment is great gain. What's it worth to be a Christian to you? What's it worth to be called a child of God? To be a son in the family? To call God your father? To be saved from sin and sure of heaven for all eternity? Is that not a ministry of contentment? Whatever your circumstances are in this world, you're to gather up that ministry of contentment and don't try to live the Christian life in a bitter heart, a cold heart, an empty heart. You're to live the Christian life in a spirit of contentment. Now, the Lord has to give you that, because the world won't give it to you and the devil won't give it to you. You've got to go to the Lord for that spirit of contentment. Let me ask you, are you praying for that? Are you praying for a ministry of contentment to your own heart in your spot in life? Wherever the Lord has put you, however hard it may be, however the struggle you have, you need that spirit of contentment right in the midst. Charles Wesley wrote this hymn, "Jesus, lover of my soul, let me to thy bosom fly. While the nearer waters roll, while the tempest still is high, hide me, O my Savior, hide. Till the storm of life is past, safe into the haven guide. O receive my soul at last. Thou, O Christ, art all I want. More than all in thee I find. Raise the fallen, cheer the faint, heal the sick, and lead the blind. Just and holy is thy name. I am all unrighteousness. False and full of sin I am. Thou art full of truth and grace." Do you think that hymn writers like that understood the spirit of contentment? Do you not think that they believed that in our worship there should be that focus on the spirit of contentment? When he wrote those words, "Thou, O Christ, art all I want." Now be honest tonight. How many of us here tonight can make that the genuine statement of your own heart? That if the Lord blesses you and takes away many of the other things that people call success, that you'll be happy, blessed, enjoying your walk and service for Christ. And so it's good to close this year with an earnest prayer. Ask God to work His will in your heart. That you do not begin a new year with a set of hindrances, fragments that remain, a testimony to waste, a testimony to despising the good things of God, a testimony that you want nothing more in the future. I think if the disciples and these men had said, "Well, we're not going to gather up these fragments, who wants them?" And there were no health inspectors around about worrying about how they were wrapped and how they were refrigerated and all the other health issues that some people attach to serving food these days. That was food. Pick it up. Enjoy it again. And as we think of a new year, we would say, "Lord, I've got a lunch. Would you multiply it for me? As I step into a new year, Lord, what am I going to preach? How am I going to feed these people? I don't have 5,000, but Lord, they're hungry. What am I going to give them for another year?" But if we don't pick up the fragments, how can we even begin to ask for another miracle? Unless we are good stewards of the grace of God He gives us, how dare we ask for more? And so let us gather up those fragments. Let us use them and praise God for them. And in a spirit of contentment and in a spirit of rejoicing, let us pray, "Now, Lord, give us more. More of your presence, more of your cleansing, more of your contentment." That surely will strengthen us in the year that is before us. Let's close with a prayer. "Create in me a clean heart and a right spirit."